Excuse me, your recording will start then.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome to the BC membership call on Thursday, April the 3rd, 2019. In the interest of time, attendance will be taken via the Adobe Connect room and phone bridge. I would like to remind all participants to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes, and to please keep your phones and microphones on mute when not speaking to avoid any background noise. With that, I will turn it over to the chair, Claudia Seller, to begin. Claudia, please go ahead.
Thank you very much, Ozan, and thank you very much, everybody, for being on the call. In the interest of time, I will leave the floor to Steve for the policy calendar. Steve, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Claudia. Steve Del Bianco. The policy calendar will be displayed in a moment, I hope, and I sent it out yesterday afternoon. If anyone failed to receive it, let me know and I'll send it again. There have been no new comments filed by the BC since we met in Kobe, so let me turn directly to the current ICANN public comments. And I have four of them to discuss, three of which I will need a volunteer from the BC. Good news is that all three of the open public comments that don't have a volunteer are very similar, and they regard new GTLD registry contracts. So I'll turn to that in a moment. But first, between now and April 17th, we want to try to get a BC comment done to the board as it considers the supermajority approved policy on the EPDP Phase 1 final report. And that final report includes a launch of Phase 2. So we call it the Phase 1 final report, but what the board is approving is more than just the Phase 1 report itself. Mason Cole, along with Staten Hammock, David Ferris, and Susan Kawaguchi, volunteered while in Kobe to draft that comment. And we had an extensive discussion in Kobe on how we were going to frame that conversation, and that it was mainly going to be seen as a quick explanation of our vote and a focus on what matters most to us, which is teeing up the right priority and workflow for Phase 2 and unified access. That was what we agreed on, and I'll note that that is exactly what Mason and his team, drafting team, delivered in the attachment. I'll note that afterwards, Tim Chen circulated a contra view on things, but Tim, that isn't where the VC ended up in Kobe. You may be able to persuade your colleagues to adopt the edits that you're suggesting, and I wouldn't mind at all having a brief conversation on that while we have Mason on the line along with the other authors and Tim. But Mason, let me give you a moment, if you would to talk to us about that draft, which we circulated, and I also see David Ferris's hand is up. So, David, maybe we'll go to you first. Go ahead, David.
No, why don't I go after Mason, if that's okay.
Mason, please. Mason? Not hearing Mason, David. Go ahead.
Okay. So I just had a bilateral exchange with Mason after we got Tim's comments, and I think Tim's comments are well taken, actually. I think when we go back to the conversations that we were having in Kobe with the contracted parties, I think everyone decided that it was time to move on, that we didn't need to dwell on the past, and that we tried to reestablish some goodwill among us, so that we could move forward in the constructive dialogue with the contracted parties when we're dealing with Phase 2. So maybe, well, I know that's what we discussed in Kobe. I think the conversations in Kobe progressed from the time that we had the BC meeting. So maybe Tim's suggestion of not focusing on why we voted the way we did is probably the sound one, since I do think we were able to move the dialogue forward with the contracted parties at Kobe.
Mason? Don't see Mason or hear Mason. Tim Chen, anything you want to add to this?
Yeah, hey, folks. Can you hear me?
We do.
Okay, sorry, I'm in a communal room here. Yeah, just quickly, I mean, it was a straightforward comment. I don't feel really strongly about it. I'm not trying to derail the BC's consensus here at all. Just, you know, my comment, I think, has been pretty consistent to the process of, like, you know, moving past planning slash in any way kind of feeling like we need to explain our vote. So that's just consistent. And then the second part was just more form. You know, it feels like slightly bad form and a lead with a really long explanation of all the things we want in Phase 2 when I believe the ask is please comment on the Phase 1 report. And we just kind of tuck that in at the end. And so, you know, I just don't want to be labeled as here BC goes again, you know, trying to drive an agenda. And, oh, by the way, you know, we'll put some comments on phase one at the end since that was what we're supposed to be talking about. And so it felt a little bit like that maybe that's not getting us off on the right foot for the second phase here by I prefer to just what are very accurate responses to phase one and what we disagree with. And then I'm happy to include all of our comments on phase two afterwards. So, again, don't feel strongly, but that's why I took the time to make the comment. I'll go back on mute.
Yeah, thank you, Tim. And what we discussed in Kobe and what I still believe the case is that when we make a comment, it is expressly to drive our agenda. That's why we do a comment. And if it isn't exactly what the requesters asked for, we'll give them what they asked for, but quickly transition to the rhetoric we want to make the arguments for where we want to drive things. And that there seemed to be a consensus in the BC that this board is going to approve the phase one. And we can talk about the things that need to be fixed, like geographical and natural versus legal. We can comment about those, both in terms of explaining our vote and to say that these are priorities. But the ultimate priority, what we are driving toward, is to get the board to draft a motion. When it approves the council report, and it will, we want the motion to include instructions to council on how to prioritize and drive the work towards a unified access model. We want it to contain instructions to Giorin to drive ICANN and ICANN Legal to step up their effort on working with data protection authorities and data protection board to get legal clarity that we need for ICANN to take sufficient responsibility. These are the ways we will drive towards the agenda what we need. And that is why you see a waiting for phase two and a lot less waiting on the elements of the phase one report. What else do we have? Any other BC members? Margie, your hand is up. Please go ahead.
Sure. Hi, it's Margie. One of the things I'd suggest in the comment would be to also perhaps support what came out of the ALAC and GAC statement we just received. I think it's really powerful, and to the extent that we can piggyback on what the advisory committees are saying, I think it strengthens the ask to the board. So perhaps the group could take a look at that and see how to weave that into the comments.
For the drafters, I'll note that I circulated that comment highlighting the helpful sections that was circulated yesterday at 7:15 p.m. All right, any other comments on this first? Hey, let me thank Mason and the other drafters for getting this out ahead of schedule. We now have a full 2 weeks for the BC to refine and revise that comment and get it into the board. But I would say this. The sooner we get it in, the better we have a chance to influence the composition of that board drafting. And that was another element we discussed in Kobe, which was to respond to Shireen's request to the VC during the CSG board in Kobe when he said, if you have something in mind for what should be in this motion, he'd like to see it. Well, that's a challenge we agreed we would take. All right? So, and I believe, Margie, you're in charge of that small drafting role, and we want to get that done far sooner than the end of the comment period, since we want to affect that motion in its early stages. Just a reminder, Margie, for the most part.
Yeah,
Mason,
okay.
If you have, yeah, go ahead.
I'll send you an email. Send the BC an email on that specifically today.
Thank you, Margie. Mason, now that you're there, do you want to do anything on the audio?
No, I've been taking notes on what everybody said, so we'll take another. The drafting team will take another swing at the comment based on input from the BC.
Beautiful. The audience is the board. The purpose is to influence the instructions that they give to council and to management, and then we design a comment that suits that audience and for that purpose. We're really not writing for the masses. We're not writing for the GAC. We're writing for the board. Thank you. All right, let me turn to comments 2, 3, and 4 in the open public comment. I think you each have independent control, and you can scroll. 2, 3, and 4 have to do with new GTLD, I shouldn't say new, they have to do with GTLD registries who are approaching the end of their contract period and under the presumptive renewal provisions are negotiating bilaterally with ICANN to come up with a new contract that presumably adheres to the base GTLD registry agreement. Oh, yeah, that is another product of bilateral negotiations between the registries and ICANN. So in all of these cases, ICANN.org is supposed to represent the interests of the Internet community, business and consumer, and the rest of the Internet community. And we count on ICANN being able to negotiate on our behalf when they go into these arrangements. And despite clamoring about this for years, Denise Michelle's been a help to me on this, we end up seeing that ICANN's GDD simply goes into these negotiations with its own agenda and emerges to ask for public comment after they've already negotiated, and as if that is going to modify what they've already negotiated. So it's a very frustrating process, and we want to elevate our ire about the way they do it, as well as make key points for what we'd like to see changed. So we have three registries that are available now to comment on, and there are three more coming up in the next month and a half. So right now we have info.info, .org, and .asia, and we have commented most recently last year on co-op and museum. Those were sponsored GTLDs. And if you recall, we had quite a bit to say about .museum and their attempt to sort of shed their sponsored community. That would be applicable to the .asia registry agreement. For .org and .info, they are open GTLDs. And our most recent comment on that was what we filed on .net, and that was in March of 2017. So what we need now is to take a look at the provisions that are in here. And because they brought them in from the base GTLD registry agreement, they brought in the URS, that's the Uniform Rapid Suspension, and some other dispute resolution processes that were cooked up in the new GTLD program, well, at our behest, among others. But they never were the subject of a bottom-up GNSO policy. Because of that, the GNSO has had concerns about ICANN imposing policies through contract renewal that were not part of the GNSO. So that's a process point that the BC has made in the past. It's a process point that gets us some points, but it costs us in other ways when we actually want the board to jam something on the contract parties. So I just make that as an equivocal point. What I'd like to ask, though, is can we get any volunteers who will help to draft these comments? And it's possible that we could do these as a batch, that org, Asia, and info could be done as a batch because there is more similar than they are different. Again, Asia, because it's a sponsored group, has a slightly different focus. But both org and info are very similar, and they were both subject to a price cap on the annual increases for domain names. That is to say, org and info in their old contracts were limited to 10% increase in the domain name price each year. In the negotiation of the new arrangements for org and info, ICANN has lifted those price caps. In other words, there won't be any cap on how much they can change prices in .info and .org. They claim that it's because the maturation of the domain name market and the goal of treating the registry operator equitably with operators of both new GTLDs and other legacy GTLDs who use the base registry agreement, and there are no price caps in the base registry agreement. I noted in the comment that when we filed on .net, we suggested that the BC does not believe that ICANN should have the role of price regulator in a competitive market, and that we were comfortable with extending what were the .net price controls of 10% a year into the next term. So can I get some volunteers to help with one or all three of these? And when I see Mark Dadisgeld saying, I will do four, I can't believe Mark would be volunteering. Mark, are you volunteering? Did I catch that out of sequence? Were you helping with .asia, Mark? Thank you. Mark D? Thank you. Need some more, though. We need some more volunteers. These are due the 29th of April, so we have a lot of time, and they're not exceedingly complex comments. We're only commenting on a handful of things like pricing, sponsorship arrangement, and the adoption of RPMs and DRPs. I would say that for new members of the BC, relatively new members, this is also an attractive comment to weigh in on. It doesn't require lots of in-depth knowledge of the GNSO process. It's really reading a relatively straightforward agreement where there's a bunch of red line changes to the previous agreement. and InfoOrg and Asia are well-known TLDs that support a lot of business functions as well. Marilyn, your hand's up. Please, go ahead. Marilyn, can't hear you.
Marilyn, thank you, Steve. I have a question. Sorry. Can you hear me?
Marilyn, please go ahead.
Thanks. I have a question. I'm not volunteering. I'm just asking a question. How do our comments help us one way or the other on trying to encourage these registries to be more responsive to our concerns about open and accurate who is? Is there a message here that we can send?
Thanks, Marilyn. We'll take that on as one of the comments we can make. I do note that all three of these adopted the registry's public interest commitments and the registry code of conduct. So if we dive into those to find some hooks, we might be able to make something of that. Any other volunteers? Because Mark and I are not going to be able to get it done alone. All right, that's a sobering response. I'll have to figure out how we're going to move ahead on that, because right on the heels of these, we will have .biz.info and .biz arrow coming up around the corner. The next thing I had on the policy calendar was a long list of sort of a chronology of the modification of WHOIS policies to comply with GDPR. I keep it in here because we do get new BC members or those who suddenly wake up and pay attention, and it sort of walks you through how we got where we are, starting roughly a year ago. And because of that, I'll keep it in the policy calendar. We don't need to go into the details on it now. But I did want to give this opportunity to Mark and Margie, who are our loyal and hardworking reps on the EPDP, to give everyone a brief update on where we are. You'll note that attachment 4 to the policy calendar was the email where both the BC and the IPC jointly worked up a proposal for separate work streams, one on the unified access model and another on what are the remaining phase one items. And we put that forth, and it's generated some debate amongst the EPDP folks, whose favorite excuse right now is that we can't maintain the breakneck work pace of phase one, so they're looking to put things in a slower, more serial fashion than fast and parallel. Well, we may be able to take advantage of that by getting them to work fast and furious on UAM. Mark and Margie, let me turn to you, though, to educate your colleagues on where we are in phase two.
So, Margie, do you want to go ahead? I'm having some audio hell.
Margie?
Sorry, I'm driving right now.
Okay, so we're both in good shape.
All right, neither of you have a great connection, so I did summarize, and I want our colleagues to look at attachment 4, where we are laying out the two tracks, two work streams. In parallel, we said that the legal work stream needed to be permanent and ongoing, but we are getting pushed back, and it would be my impression from everything else we've said that if we have to put these work streams in series, that we would probably prioritize the UAM. Any other comments on that?
This is Mark. I mean, that may make sense, but really there's a lot of risk in the legal work stream.
And some of that risk is supposed to be mitigated by reaching out to the contract parties and having them understand that we have consistent interests, because we want ICANN to take on sufficient legal responsibility so that the contract parties can reveal through a UAM to accredited entities without taking legal risk. So I do hope we can.
Yes, that's the attempted workaround.
And that is we're supposed to advance that cause in a call we're having tomorrow, Mark, with some of the contract parties. Agreed?
Agreed.
All right, if there's no questions there, I'd like to turn things over to Scott and Marie on Channel 2, which is what's going on at Council. Scott and Marie?
Hey, Steve, this is Marie. Can you hear me okay?
We do, perfectly.
Great, thank you. I'll start off, if I can, with the EPDP, our favorite friend. We don't have a chairman for phase two, as you all know, because I've told you all. And the leadership of the GNSO Council has extended the call until Monday next, so until the 8th of April. A personal call. If anybody knows anyone prepared to take this on, please get in touch with Council. We understand that one person has so far come forward. I don't have official confirmation on that, who that one person is, but bearing in mind one person posted on Facebook that he had applied, I'm assuming that is the one person. So in all seriousness, we need to push this. And phasing in from that is another issue to do with scheduling in our upcoming meeting in Marrakesh, which, of course, will be a very short meeting. And I presume that Claudia will speak to this later, but there is a, we think, quite sensible suggestion that we, bearing in mind the little time we will have in Marrakesh, it does give more time to focus on the EPDP if we give less time to certain cross-community or high-interest topics. But that's for discussion, and I know that Claudia will be able to talk about that further. On the Council itself, our next meeting is the 18th of April. I can't give you the agenda because I haven't got it. As soon as I do, of course, it will be sent around. Some things that are ongoing at the moment, the small group of councillors who are working to improve the PDP system, the so-called PDP 3.0, we are now having a call every 2 weeks. We had our first call on Monday. Nothing of substance there to report at the moment. It's based on the implementation program that you've all seen already. So I will keep you posted and reach out to you if I need help. You can be assured of that. Another thing is that the Fellowship Selection Committee, which is under the chairmanship of Heather, who used to be GNSO chair, has developed a straw man for fellowship criteria going forward. So a massive shout out of thanks to both Andy Mack and to Mark, who've already got back to me with the comments on that within 24 hours of me pleading for comments. I will draft up something that's readable and send it out to all of you, hoping that if anybody else has fellowship experience and or thoughts, they can help us on that one. On the council meeting that we had in Marrakesh, again, you all know what happened. Most of you were there. But a couple of headlines is that we still don't have clarity on what's going to happen to the infamous curative rights, the INGOs and IGOs. As you know, the BC position is we really dislike Recommendation 5. And there's also a practical concern that sending it to the existing RPM PDP, that's the Rights Protection Mechanisms PDP, is a bad move. Firstly, because it's the same people. Secondly, because that PDP is in a heck of a mess right now. And thirdly, because it's a very complex legal issue with the experience of most people involved in ICANN. So I'll keep you posted on that one. We are trying to get Privacy Proxy relaunched. We've got serious pushback. One suggestion that came out of the registries, which is sensible, is that we look at those bits of the agreed Privacy Proxy implementation that can be taken forward now and try and move with those, because not all of it is affected by the EPDP, although certain registrars are claiming that it is. There was a certain amount of bad feeling. I don't want to say there was much bad feeling, because that's not the truth, but there was a certain amount of bad feeling about us and the IPC having voted against the EPDP Phase 1 report, and that the portrayal of consensus agreement on the report was perhaps not completely valid, bearing in mind the BC and IPC did vote against. The BC, as always, took a very non-combative approach to this, because, to be blunt, us getting into fisticuffs in council with our colleagues isn't going to help anybody. The IPC can do what the IPC wants to do. But we did seem to at least walk away from that table friends, which I think is incredibly important. And I will stop talking, Steve, and ask you if there's anything else you want me to talk to you specifically.
Hey, thanks, Marie. I think that when we get to the next channel and back to Claudia, we'll definitely pick up on the idea of how to structure the meeting in Morocco. And I think the Jimson added to the agenda to discuss the fellowship thing towards the end of this, but thank you for bringing both of those topics up. Do our colleagues have any questions? Or Scott, do you have anything you want to add from council?
No, Marie covered it. All good.
Thanks, Scott. And Marie, so we'll turn it over to Barbara Warner. Barbara, I know you had a fire drill. Are you back on the line?
Yeah, we're back. I really don't have much to report. We'll have a CSG XCOM call in the next week or so to talk about priorities for how we want to use our time in Marrakesh. I read with great interest Keith Drazik's proposal to limit the number of high-interest topic sessions or cross-community sessions to enable more time to work on the EPDP in Phase 2, and I personally think that's a good idea, but of course I defer to the consensus of the group. We might want to take that approach, too, with respect to our meetings and how we want to focus them and focus the invitations that we sent out. So I'll just leave it there and leave you with a message that more info is on the way. Thanks.
Barbara, thank you. And this is Steve speaking. At the bottom of the policy calendar, I have put a question to our membership that I'll raise now. Would the members on this call at least support the idea of limiting to just three high-interest topic cross-community sessions in Marrakesh, which would allow more time for the EPDP and other policy issues? So is there any BC member that would like to differ or object to the BC saying that three is a good limit? Marilyn Cade.
Thanks, Steve. Actually, I wanted to ask if two might be a better number. I'm just under AOB, perhaps I can give a short update about the cross-community working group option proceeds, but I think both EPDP and the cross-community working group need work time, and having high-level topics, multiple high-level topics, takes significant time away from space and staff availability. And just wondering if two might be a better number, as long as that didn't exclude the work time needed for EPDP, of course, but also the work time needed for other events that we all need to engage in.
Thank you, Marilyn. Any other BC members commenting on this? Okay, so the XCOM will take this input and react to Keith Drazik's suggestion, which was two or three. We'll suggest certainly no more than three, and perhaps as few as only two. I hope that will help, but there's another subtext here, that the NCSG was very upset because when the BC moderates one of these high-interest topic cross-community sessions, we structure and moderate in a way that advances our agenda. Yep, guilty as charged. And I hope we do it effectively. That made the NCSG claim that we not only need fewer high-interest topics, but we need, what did they call for, objective third-party moderators and organizers. So you should know that that's coming as well, and it's not likely we'll have as much influence over how the sessions go in Morocco as we did in previous sessions. Okay, without any reaction to that, we're going to turn it back over to Claudia. We're finished with policy calendar. Claudia, are you on the line? I don't hear Claudia, so what we may do is move to Jimson on operations and finance. This is agenda item 6, because there's quite a bit in there. Jimson, are you on the line?
Yes, Steve, I'm on the line, and greetings, everyone. This is Jimson Olufoye. First, let me give us a feedback on the ICANN response to comments with respect to FY20 budget comments. On the comment, we talked about the non-contracted party house intersessional for 2020, and that it should take place biannually, that is, once every 2 years. ICANN org said it's already in the budget and it's approved for FY 2020. And also the constituency travel. Constituency travel involves support for officers, three officers, and then two councillors. So this is also a regular budget line and is in place. And you may recall that we approved that a fourth officer be supported. So this is also in our own proposed BC budget for FY20. And that proposed budget for BC will be coming up for a review shortly. We are still tidying it up. And crop support will remain at FY19. Crop is cross community outreach program, called cross regional outreach program, a program to conduct outreach within the region of ICANN meetings. So it will still be at FY19 level. We got three in FY19, so we should expect three such support in FY20. And we also asked about the open data program. We wanted to be sure that it's still in the budget line, and we got the feedback that 240K has been marked for open data program for FY20. And you could recall that the open data team actually came to brief us, and they had a general briefing as well. So that is on course. We asked them why staff emolument is to increase in FY20, what they call merit increases, and when expenses are expected to be flat. So they are considering staff emolument increase, why expenses remain flat. They responded that the FY20 budget proposes to reduce the average increase in ICANN org staff compensation from 4%. So they are projecting a reduction of 4%, which is the historical average increase, to 3% due to the funding levels, and that even the cost has stabilized as well, and they need to stabilize the cost. So they say that they believe 3% is necessary to account for inflation and moderate compensation increases. We also took them up on headcount increase. Why is there projections for headcount increase? They addressed this severally during the ICANN 64 when we posed the question, and they still on the their response. And their response is that I cannot expect to increase personnel expenses by 4.3 million in FY20 due to headcount growth of 10 positions, along with merit increases of 3%. So they say that the headcount growth is very modest in comparison to prior trends, and the merit increase of 3% is also lower than the historical average. On the additional budget request, they expect it to remain flat at FY19 level in FY20. But we do not expect to get feedback on the budget request until the board finalizes the budget for FY20. So that is on the feedback on FY budget comment by ICANN. And then I'll move to the process of BC DNSO Councillor and Nominating Committee election. I'm not on the Adobe. It is hanging on my system. So perhaps if there is any questions, Steve, you could just let me know. Well, we are starting, as you were informed earlier, election process much earlier to give clear 120 days, you know, before the councillors or non-com to take their seat. So the election for BC DNSO councillor will be coming up, and non-com will be coming up on May 6th, Monday, May 6th, 2019, to Monday, to Wednesday, 29th May, or until 7th June, when the announcement will be made. Details will be sent to Ross shortly by Chantel. One councilor seat is open, and you could recall that a very active councilor is occupying that seat currently. That is Mary Patlo. And that is for 2019 and 2021 session now. This coming election is for 2019-2021. And it's only one seat that is being contested for. For the nominating committee, we have the role open for the large and the small seat, small business seat, large business and small business seat. So eligibility, you just need to be a member, so member of BC, in good standing, to be able to stand. And if you want to nominate anyone, just contact the person you want to nominate and ask him or her if he or she is willing to stand for the position chosen. And you will submit the nomination to BC Private by email, indicating your name, company affiliation, and BC membership name. And the email of nominee and position that you are nominating the person for. So you, as I said, details will be sent to us by our secretariat very shortly, immediately after this call. And lastly, with regard to ICANN 64 outreach, we had very, very successful outreaches in Tokyo and in Kobe. We have been briefed about the outcome. And since Mary Lynn, the chair of the outreach committee, is online, perhaps you can give us more summary about it, and then maybe you could talk about plans for ICANN 65. Marilyn, are you on the call?
Yes, thank you, Jensen. Well, very quickly, I would just like to thank everyone who participated in making Bokio and Kobe a success and give you a bit of feedback, but I want to thank those of you who made the extra effort to attend the JAPA event, which was off-site doing Kobe, as well as also Andrew Mack and Steve and Claudia, who traveled to Tokyo. The good news is I am now in discussions with Kato-san and others from the Kaidan Ren and Jade from our Tokyo meeting about follow-up. This is a long-standing, very unique approach that Japanese business takes, and they are interested in advancing how we can collaborate on the initiatives they take following each international meeting where they translate all of the PowerPoints. They do a major update, and we are also talking about identifying potential membership for the BC from both of those organizations. JAPA is a little different in that some of the companies from JAPA, that is the Japanese IP Association, are potential members, and a couple of them have indicated interest in further dialogue. So we should think of this as a very interesting approach, very customized to how business does business in their country. But many of those businesses have a global reach, and it would be absolutely fantastic if we are actually successful in regaining Fujitsu and a few other of the global companies rejoining the BC. Let me move to looking ahead. We have two indications of interest to use CROP for the region for ICANN 65. one in Africa. I think Lawrence is on the call. And also from Mamet from Tagi to do a coordination actually in Marrakesh. And then we have one other crop to yet still hear from any proposals. Those proposals go to the executive committee to review. We have also an indication of a high-level executive nomination from Lebanon. It's a Lebanon telecom and content provider that is very interested in joining the BC as a potential member from the region, and she will be providing additional information that can be forwarded to the executive committee for a high-level executive nomination. We need to start thinking early for Montreal, ICANN 66, since it's possible that we could do something much more impressive in Montreal to bring in some businesses that we haven't heard from for some time and some associations that have global reach, and possibly partner again with the ICANN team. And I just want to reinforce how strategic it has been to partner with Chris Mondini, who has been such a strong ally of ours, and it's actually his budget has borne much of the cost in Tokyo and also much of the cost when we've done previous events in Panama and also in Puerto Rico. We'll be scheduling regular BC outreach calls that I'm asking Chantal to set up. And for anyone who's interested, please do consider participating in those calls and volunteering to engage with the outreach committee in planning further outreach and follow-up. Thanks, Jimson.
Okay. Thank you very much, Mary Lynn. This is Jimson. Yes, as usual, the report will be, summary report will be available in our next newsletter that will be published against ICANN 65. And I would also like to request members to please follow BC Twitter handle. Let's follow BC on Twitter handle. Yes, I know some members are doing that already. We were tweeting a number of information during the outreach, so we want to encourage every member to maybe follow maybe on your personal capacity or company capacity. And again, finally, I don't know if Claudia is on the call now on the line. I believe she might want to. She might want to also talk about an expression of interest that I'll be going out shortly. We got to the former use of the remaining funding for outreach in Japan. We have some funding in standing, and the ESCOM determined that perhaps it can be used to support the perhaps in-region members or out-of-region members to participate in Marrakesh, ICANN 65 in Marrakesh. On this note, okay, Claudia is not yet here. So on this note, I don't know if there is any question. Okay, so Steve, maybe I hand over to you.
Thank you, Jimson. Appreciate it. Is there any other business on behalf of BC members? Mason Cole, please.
Thanks, Steve. Mason Cole here. I just wanted to raise a quick issue on the proposed comment that Alex Deacon circulated to some BC members about the TSG. I don't know. I dropped off. As you know, I had some audio problems. I'm not sure if that was covered earlier in the call, so forgive me if I'm bringing it up.
We did not.
Okay.
We did not.
So I just wondered if that was something that BC wanted to take on. You know, I'd be willing to help coordinate that if that's something that we're interested in taking on.
Mason, it's Steve. At the end of this section on GDPR and who is, I included a link to the final report, sorry, the draft report that the TSG put out and their website. It's my impression that the TSG merely confirmed what Alex Deacon and the technical people like Mark on the BC have said all along, is that RDAP technically can do the job. Summarize for us the kind of commentary that you think it would be productive for the BC to make.
Well, I'd have to go back and review Alex's comment, but as a topic more broadly, I just didn't know if that was something the BC wanted to try to address or just leave it as it stands right now.
All right, I'll take it on to do another look. It's not an official public comment period, as you know. It was a group that finished the report and did a lot of interactions in Kobe, and they confirmed nearly everything the BC had been saying all along. So other than good work, thanks very much, I'm not sure there's much more we can say, but why don't you and I look at that, and if we think there's more, we'll circulate a note to the whole BC right away.
All right, sounds good.
Thank you, Mason, and I appreciate the work you did on the drafting. Marilyn Cade. Marilyn, can't hear you.
I want to update very quickly. Sorry. Can you
go ahead?
Can you hear me now?
We do.
Okay. I just wanted to update on the cross-community working group on auction proceeds. As many of you know, just a reminder, I didn't join the group until meeting 17. I quickly observed that we were very underrepresented, and eventually Tony Harris was no longer able to continue due to time commitments for the CSG representative. I was nominated, supported by the BC, and took that role. It has been very interesting. We are fortunately supported by TOLA and WADO as participants, and also by Brian Scarpelli and from the IPC, and Tony Harris continues in a participant role from the ISPCP, but not very actively. The point here is that the group is getting very, very close to making a final set of recommendations, and it's been somewhat challenging to make sure that we are able to have integrity represented in the recommendations, since some of the representatives from the contracted party have an interesting and from the at-large have an interesting perspective that on how the funds can be spent and how conflicts of interest should be addressed, et cetera. I think we're finally getting down to a bottom line of recommendation, and that will be taken up in a face-to-face in Marrakesh. It will be an open meeting. I'm not suggesting it will be a high-level event, but it will be an open meeting, and then there will be a recommendation to the board. So far, with BC input and input from the IPC, the focus has been on making sure that it's an external process without influence by ICANN or influence by the contracted party, and there's a set of examples of the kinds of things that can be funded. If anyone is, which are all about being consistent with ICANN's mission, but not competing with it or replacing the ICANN budget, but it could be in parallel to the ICANN budget. So I'm just going to give two examples. For example, CROP only funds now three special events. There's an argument about whether additional funding could be available that is similar to CROP, not called CROP, but based on support requests from the constituencies. That's a back and forth. It could deal with further interest from us. Happy to talk to anyone who's interested in the more details. The second issue is, can funding be provided to external groups that are doing work in universal acceptance or advancing awareness of IDNs if ICANN is only providing a small amount of funding? And what is the conflict here where ICANN might decide not to fund something that is consistent with the mission, assuming the funding could come from the auction funds? So for anyone who's interested, I'd be happy to have a longer off conversation, off-list conversation, and very, very much welcome input and guidance.
Thank you, Marilyn. Very helpful. Very helpful. Are there any questions for Marilyn or other items of all other business? All right. Thanks, everyone. And we'll conclude this call a little bit early.
You have been removed from the call. Goodbye.
That was abrupt. That was abrupt, huh? Wow. Okay. I guess we're done.
We're done.
Okay. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you, operator. Yeah. All you may know, stop the recording. Please remember to disconnect all remaining lines and enjoy the rest of your day.